Chapter 44. Bobby.
Tug,
Katria said, then turned to look at her. A ghost of a smile touched the other woman's lips, and Bobby wondered just exactly how much of the violence of their first meeting was really forgotten and forgiven.
You ready to play a game?
After half a beat, Naomi's gaze tracked over to her. Exhaustion had yellowed her sclera, and her skin had an undertone of ash. She put a hand on Naomi's shoulder to steady her as much as anything.
Take care of the kids until I get back.
I will. Good hunting.
The words were a little punch in the gut.
Hope you kill someone. Some other Marine who had the bad luck to be born on the wrong side of this. Who's as loyal to his people as you are to yours. Whoever they are, I hope you get them before they get you.
The truth of it was, despite everything, there was a joy in this. She'd spent some of the most important years of her young life training for moments like this one, and as much as she wanted to have grown and matured, aged into a woman of peace, part of her still really liked it.
Thanks, Bobby said, and stepped out.
Bobby, I'm sorry.
Bobby nodded as Katria scooped up her toolbox. They walked together toward the intersection with a larger corridor. The door closed behind them with a soft click and the whir of the lock. Katria chuckled under her breath, but Bobby didn't ask why. She didn't much want to know. Most of the people in the corridor were walking, but there were a few carts loaded with containers. At one intersection, a man was driving a loading mech, moving it from one warehouse to another. It was a four-point harness. If she got in by his side, she could loop one arm around his neck and choke him out while she unbuckled him from the controls with the other. Drop him out, swing around, and strap herself in. It would probably take 30 seconds, maybe less. Easy peasy. As they walked, she felt herself relaxing, sinking down into her hips as she walked, lowering her center of gravity. She whistled a little, softly. Katria raised an eyebrow but didn't comment. The screens along the walls announced that the security forces were closing in on the terrorist cell that had blown up the oxygen tanks. But Bobby didn't see anyone giving the pair of them a second glance, much less closing in. There was a sparseness about the halls. Even with the carts and the people, there was an emptiness showing through. Part of it had to be that, with no ships coming in or out of the station, there just wasn't as much to do as there would have been. But part of it was also fear. People staying in their holes, staying out away from the checkpoints, out of trouble. They took the ramp down, away from the inner surface of the drum. There weren't many places on the drum that came close to the skin of the station. Most of the outer layers had been designed with radiation shielding in mind. Water tanks, storage for ceramic and metal and steriles. Service halls with anti-spalling covered in paint and conduit and pipes. But there were a few junctions near service airlocks where only a few layers of steel and ceramic and foam separated their feet from the outside. It reminded her of being on one of the old Doniger-class battleships. The bare functionality of the design belonged to a different generation from the residential levels or the inner face of the drum. The hallway, where Katria stopped, looked just like the sections they'd been walking through. But she checked the section identifiers painted on the walls and the pipes, then stamped her foot on the deck like she was listening for something in the way it rang.
Here? Bobby asked. This is the place. Boost me up.
Bobby locked her fingers together into a cradle, and Katria put her foot into it. She didn't weigh much. Bobby hauled her up toward the ceiling. Could have kept her there for hours, she thought. Katria caressed the ceiling with her palm, then found what she was looking for, pressed hard enough that Bobby felt it, and slid a panel aside. A little gap, hardly more than a decimeter, between the panel and the structural beam above it. Katria hoisted her toolbox, checked its orientation, and slid it into place. She pulled the ceiling tile back and tapped Bobby on the shoulder to be put down.
That's it?
No, Katria said, and pulled a bit of black tape from her pocket. After a moment's consideration, she curled it around a bit of pipe just beside the bum, then took her hand terminal out and shifted to a screen Bobby had never seen before. A rough, grainy image of the hallway appeared on it, including her and Katria from the tape's perspective. Katria stood directly under the bum, then tapped her own image on the screen. Red script came up, locked, and she put the terminal back in her pocket.
Now that's it, she said.
Okay, Bobby said. Let's go outside. The maintenance airlock was uncrewed. Two vac suits hung in the lockers, a large gray transport box with its lid open and unsealed, and inside of that, a yellow ceramic box beside them with Zemitor stenciled on it in black. The transport box wheels were retracted, the steering handle stowed on its side. The walls and lid were only a little thicker than the real thing. Whatever they were using for shielding, it was thin. She hoped it was light, too. Bobby put on the environment suit, checked her seals and air supply. She and Katria checked each other. The suit had a magnetic tether built into it, a ribbon as wide as her hand and thick as her pinky, dirty from years of use. The airlock itself was set into the floor. The little platform to carry them out to the drum's surface and hopefully not fling them out into the emptiness of the slow zone. With both of them and the box, it was a tight fit. Bobby watched the suit's sleeve puff out a little as the lock cycled out the air. Katria pressed her helmet against Bobby's and shouted. With only physical conduction to carry the sound, her voice was distant and muffled.
Last chance to back away.
Bobby smiled and made an obscene gesture. She could see Katria laughing, but she couldn't hear it. The lock cycled, and the platform descended. The body of Medina's drum curved away above her to the left and right, extended ahead of her and behind. She felt like she was hanging on to the belly of some massively vast whale. The gates were only pinpoints of eerie and erratic light, as regular as a printed pattern against the surreal darkness below her. The gates and the tiny dot of the alien station in the center of ring space. It wasn't her first time outside a ship in the slow zone, but she shuddered all the same. Falling off a spin station in normal space meant drifting out at whatever velocity the station had given her until someone came to haul her back or she ran out of air. Losing her connection here meant falling into the blackness between the gates and vanishing into whatever existed or failed to exist on the other side. Normal, star-strewn space could feel like an infinite ocean, vast and glorious and uncaring. The slow zone felt like being in something's mouth. Katria put her safety tether on the surface of the drum, then lay on her back and pushed her feet up until her mag boot locked to the station. Bobby waited to follow until she'd taken a couple of awkward, swaying steps. And then she was also hanging upside down from the turning station. The crate in her hand wanted to fly up like the loop of her safety harness. Blood rushed into her head, filling her ears with their own distant roar as they walked, release, swing, push up, and reconnect to the station, back along until they found the stretch of plating that would become the breach point. Katria gestured to the crate, two fingers pointing, the belter's gesture for opening or deploying. Bobby nodded yes with a closed fist. The mining net was a square of woven steel cable, reinforced by carbon fiber. Rock hoppers and subsistence miners had been using things like it since humanity had first crawled up the well and started harvesting the near-Earth asteroids. The primary piton was thicker than Bobby's thigh. She fastened it to the skin of the station, then waited for a moment as the external elevator shaft that ran along the drum from engineering to the command center passed overhead. She and Katria took different edges, pulling and stretching the net as they navigated around the target, placing the secondary pitons until the whole thing lay like a low, black blister on the side of the drum. The trap set at last. Katria dropped the box, and it flew up and away into the darkness, gone in an eye blink. She led the way back almost to the airlock platform, then turned off one mag boot, and then the other, and swung on her safety harness, feet to the void. Bobby did the same. It felt better to be right side up again, and worse to know that only one failure point was keeping her alive. Trade-offs. There were always trade-offs. Katria slaved her hand terminal to the suit's arm display, copied the output to Bobby's, and set up a low-power radio connection between them. The corridor where they'd set the bomb appeared in the same grainy, muted colors as before. Empty for now, but not forever. "Now we wait," Katria said through the radio. "The patrol puts their foot in our trap, or someone notices that we're out here."
"Yeah," Bobby said.
"Don't worry. These Laconians are just like Earthers. They only think of ships and stations as inside. Comes from growing up in free air.
The predictable limits of a conceptual framework," Bobby said, a phrase from her classroom on Olympus Mons. "It's always where to hit the enemy, whoever they turn out to be. When I learned how to do things like this, we were thinking about Earthers and pirates."
Katria laughed. "When I taught myself how to do this, I was thinking of people like you. Strange how the wheel turns."
The elevator passed above them again, the glowing orb of the alien station at the slow zone's heart appearing like a moon on her left, vanishing again on the right. Bobby turned to look toward the docks. The Rocinante was down there somewhere.
Her home, and her ship, or Holden's, or neither of theirs.
Strange how the wheel turns. The minutes stretched, became hours. Twice people passed through the corridor, a pair of electrical technicians, a sketchy-looking young woman pulling a child by the hand and looking over her shoulder as she walked. Bobby wondered what the story was there, but it wasn't hers. Her anxiety slowly faded into a kind of dull anticipation, and then to both at the same time. The void passed beneath her feet again, and again, and again. She switched her air to the secondary bottle.
"Ah," Katria said. "Here we go."
On the monitor, two people walked down the hall toward the camera. Bobby couldn't mistake the Laconian power armor for anything else. The patrol they'd been waiting for. The enemy approaching. Without a word, she swung back, set her feet against the station, and re-engaged her mag boots. The spin gravity would try to straighten her legs, but that was exactly the wrong thing. She bent double, put her hands behind her knees, and held herself there. Katria did the same,
bat brace position. It was hard to relax like that, especially knowing what was coming. She took a deep breath, starting in her belly and moving through her whole chest, then let it out. Shook her shoulders to get out the tension, smooth and loose. That was the way to be. She remembered the young Marine she'd flirted with when the Laconians had first taken the station. She wondered if he was on one of the patrols walking above her now, the soles of his feet unknowingly against her own. "Your turn now, my turn later," she thought. The seconds stretched. The temptation to shift her arm so she could look at the screen was almost irresistible. The station hit the bottoms of her feet like a hammer. Her legs slammed into her chest, blowing the air out of her. One mag boot threw an error, but only for a second. Then it was done. She turned, walking fast toward the net. It wasn't a low blister anymore. It was a hemisphere of debris and cables, bent, plating, shredded foam, and at the heart of it, trapped like two fish hauled out of a tank, human figures. Above her, the debris small enough to escape the net seemed to fly away from her, though it was really her spinning away from it.
"Hurry," Katria said. "They'll already be on their way."
"I know," Bobby said.
At the net, they undid one of the pitons, opening it like the mouth of a tent. The gaping hole that led up into the station leaked water and coolant out, flying down past them as they hung. The nearer of the two bodies had taken the worst of the explosion, a crack along the collar and chest assembly. The inside of the helmet was a soup of blood. Bobby wrestled the corpse closer, holding the arms and waist in a rescue hold while Katria fastened grips to the Laconian suit.
"Hold still," Katria said.
The low-power radio made her voice seem farther away than she was.
"I'm doing my best," Bobby said through clenched teeth.
"All right. He's solid."
"You're sure?"
"Positive," Katria said, and disengaged the primary piton. The net pulled free and fell away below them into nothing. Bobby turned, forcing herself back to the airlock, her muscles burning from the effort. 20 years ago, they wouldn't have been. The spin of the station made it feel like the dead Marine was pulling her down toward the depths, or else up into the emptiest sky in the universe. The power armor helmet knocked against the back of hers. The dead arms and legs hung loose. Blood leaked from the crack in the chest plate.
"I hope this suit's not too fucked up," Bobby said.
"Hope later," Katria said. "Walk now."
At the platform, Bobby shifted her weight and the dead Marine's with a cry of effort loud enough that Katria turned off her radio. She hung from her safety tether and motioned Bobby up. There wasn't room on the platform for all three of them. Bobby didn't even nod, just turned the controls and the platform rose. While the air cycled in, she sat across from the armor. Her heart was pounding. Her muscles ached. She'd just killed two of the enemy. There would always be a little something, that tug on her humanity that came from doing violence. There was a satisfaction, too. It didn't mean she was a good woman or a bad one. It meant she was a Marine. Somewhere in the station right now, security forces and maintenance techs were scrambling to figure out whether the hole in the station or the possibility of rushing into more bombs was the greater threat. By the time they came to a decision, she needed to be as far away from here as possible. The inner airlock door cycled open, and she hauled the corpse up into the locker room before she cycled the airlock again for Katria to use. When she popped her helmet seals, the dead man stank of blood and overheated metal and the same kind of lubricant she used on Betsy's joints. She pulled the body into the large gray transport box, closed the lid, and triggered the seals. Whatever alerts, whatever alarms the power armor had been sending out were blocked now. Or, if Saba was wrong, she and Katria would find out soon enough. The airlock cycled open while Bobby was pulling off her environment suit. Her jumpsuit was drenched in sweat. Katria undid the seals of her own helmet and slung it into the locker.
"You get the package to Saba," Katria said. "I know the plan. I'm on it," Bobby said. "And thank you. I know we didn't get off on the right foot, your crew and mine."
"No need for that," Katria said, popping the seals on her suit with the speed of long habit. "Just get the work done."
"Copy that."
"You know, this is the second time we've played the same trick. Use the blast to hide what we really meant. The data center. Now the missing power armor they'll all think is out there in the black. If they think we have it, they'll change the shutdown code before we can reverse engineer it."
"I know why," Katria said. "I'm saying don't count on doing it again. Patterns get people like you and me killed. This strategy's played out. If Saba thinks otherwise, he's a fool."
Bobby popped the wheels on the transport cart out, extended the handle. It rolled easily. She wasn't looking forward to pushing the damn thing through the public areas of the station to Saba's rendezvous, but she also wanted to get out of here as quickly as she could. She forced herself to take one long, slow look at it before she opened the doors, though, in case there was blood on it.
"There won't be a third time," she said.
"You sure of that?" Katria asked.
"Positive," Bobby said. "You get your people, and you tell them to be ready. Cracking the code in this suit is the trigger. 2 minutes after that happens, we're all getting the hell off this station."